Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing. Tommy's a Hall of Fame trainer of champions. As we travel the world for past, present, and future stars, and coming to you live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. Welcome into the show, Bob. How you doing?
Pretty good, Aaron. Good morning. Yes, man, you know, just talked a little bit ago, lots of changes in the schedules, you know. We never know what's going to happen, but we got it all ready to go for you and tell you what's happening, what's coming up. And we mentioned some changes, though. We'll have to get to that. But we'll go over some numbers, too, from last week, some impressive numbers. And lots to talk about, man. Yeah, getting busy.
Yeah, it is getting busy, Bob. But guess what? As we're getting busy, the coronavirus is getting busy too, Bob.
Oh, and my heavens, yeah.
Yeah, we just ask people to try to keep on keeping themselves safe. When you keep yourself safe, you make everybody around you safe by keeping yourself, and remind people, you know, to keep washing their hands, your face, and, you know, staying social distance apart, you know. Do the right thing so we can come through this. It's a spike coming around around the holidays, you know, and we want to wish everybody out there around the world a happy and joyous, blessed Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving's just right around the corner. We're wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving, Bob.
Right, right. And, you know, with Thanksgiving, we got Black Fridays and all that other kind of shopping madness. And just be careful when you're doing that, too. You know, well, a lot of people shopping online, which seems to be the way to go, you know, and continue doing that. And if you don't have to really go out and rub elbows with people, you know, stay home and do your shopping at home if you have to.
Yeah, well, it's great deals, you know, on Black Friday. But you got Internet Tuesday, too. Don't forget about that, Bob. They, you know, they come up with all kind of things to say. Yeah, but we wish everybody that everybody has a blessed Thanksgiving. You know, we hope everyone has food to eat, and you know, we have to watch being around a lot of family during this time. But we're just hoping that everybody has a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving, Bob.
Right, yes, and that'll be Thursday, and, yeah, looking forward to it. But, again, everybody, please be safe, and, you know, even family gatherings, you know, they can be dangerous. You have some of the younger people coming in, maybe from college or workplaces, and, you know, when the older people tend to get it from the younger people now, it seems, too. So, you know, it's very serious still. You know, the numbers keep going up. We've had records set again this week for daily totals here in the U.S. and in P.A., you know, Schuylkill County still going wild, but yeah, just everybody stay safe, man, and lots of good boxing ready to come up too, man. Especially next week, man. We got Tyson Jones next week. We'll talk about that a little bit too.
yeah. Tyson's biting at the bit. He's going on the night circuit of television, taking off his clothes. So we're going to see what happens during that period of time. You know, see if the look is right with the fight. You know, and see if he's up off the task, or see if he's just been lifting weights to get the body looking good. You know, Roy Jones is biting at the bit. Roy Jones looked like he went in hiding. We don't see him much in the media now talk about the fight. But, hey, look. A fight ain't a fight until the bell rings, and we'll see as
Sure.
it comes closely if the bell rings or not.
And we did see Mike Tyson this week with a joint in his hand. He didn't smoke it, but it's legal in California. He had a joint in his hand, so he's still promoting his plotline too.
Hey, you know the old saying, Bob, don't get high on your own supply. And like they said, drugs and alcohol don't go along with the fight game. And to put the game in the fight game. So you can't, you know, if it's part of this treatment to keep them balanced, what we had talked to about it before, If he's smoking weed, are they going to let him bypass, and how's he getting around the piss test? And we heard him saying that he kept a little piss bottle or something in his pocket to pass the piss test. I don't think that's going to fly much, but we'll see what all of that brings, you know. And don't get high on your own supply.
Like that. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see what we got going on today. We'll start. We'll go up north to start today. We'll go to Rimouski, Quebec, Canada, for the battle for both the vacant WBC Francophone and the open NABF super lightweight titles between Ives Ulissi Jr., 18-2, 9 knockouts, and Matthew Germain, 18-1-1, 8 KOs. The co-headliner is the fight for the vacant NABA super lightweight crown between Steve Claggett, 28-6-2, 18 KOs, and David Thoreau, 16-3, 11 knockouts. Down here in the USA at the Staples Center in L.A., California, they'll have two main lightweight events as veterans Javier Fortuna, he's 35-2-1, and Antonio Lozada Torres, 40 wins, 4 losses, and 1 draw, duke it out. And also Austin DeLay, 13-2, crosses the ropes with Jose Luis Gallegos, 19-9. Unbeaten Harold Calderon, 22-0, 15 of those wins by knockout, steps in with the 23-6-1, 12 KOs, Gustavo David Vettori at the top of the card in Tampa, Florida, and in Fort Mill, South Carolina, the super lightweight class between Levante Early, 11-0, and Marcus Bates, 7-3, ends the night there. The Zone and Sky TV, they'll be at the Wembley SSE Arena in London, UK, where it's undefeated Conor Benn, 16-0, 11 knockouts, versus the 22-1 with 10 KOs Sebastian Formella in the welterweight feature, fighting for the WBA Continental Crown. Two 10-rounders on the undercard showcase heavyweights Fabio Wardley, 9-0, going at it with the 14-3 Richard Larty, and 7-0 Liam Davies, and 7-2 Sean Kearns vie for the open Triple BFC English bantamweight belt. In Valenciana, Spain, it's Dylan Moran, 14-1, versus David Bensi, 14-17-1, in the super welterweight closer. Rome Early will have a big feature, co-feature with Maria Cecchi. She's 4-0 versus Annalisa Brozzi, 2-1, for the vacant Italy female super bantamweight crown. And it's Adriano Sperandio. He's 11-1 versus Luca Spadaccini, 6-0-3, for the open Italy light heavyweight strap. In Emilia-Romagna, it's the Daniele Zayati versus Gerardo Munio super lightweight fight. That's the finale there. Germany's still active again this week with a card in Gelsenkirchen in Nordrhein-Westfalen. They topped a fight with the interim German international BDB super middleweight belt fight between Arben Shemalari and Zivko Zukovic. And two vacant title bouts head the undercard there with Stefani Koff, 7-1, tangling with Mohamed Oyudan Arifogulari, who's 3-0. And that's for the UBF European light heavyweight title. And Raisa Baidili, 5-0, and Jaime Hasio, 9-9. Slug it out for the Universal Boxing Federation European Heavyweight Crown. Two sites in action tonight on the African continent. First in Ihana, in Namibia. Long time since we've been in Namibia. It's Emmanuel Mungungajela versus Henderson Angifon and Daka. They clash for the country's welterweight strap. And in Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, 42-18-7, Francis Biyoshi squares off against Deo Samuel, 12-9-7 in the featherweight closer. Back over now to Mexico and the Tijuana for two venues, one at the Hialeah Frontón Palacio, where Big Card is co-headlined with the Alessandro Rigucini, undefeated at 24-0, 20 of those wins by KO, versus the 29-10-1 with 19 knockouts, Ivan Alvarez. It's a welterweight contest. And the battle between super welterweights Damian Sayers, 15-1, and Ernesto Olvera, 11-4-1. Also, 20-year-old Manuel Jaimes, he's 10-0, 9 KOs, and Christian Santiago Vasquez, 15-0-1, who's also only 19 years old. They fight for the vacant WBC Youth World Lightweight title. And at the Quartz Hotel, middleweight Paul Valenzuela Jr., 25-9, and Dylan Laza, 15-3-1, meet up. IC Sports TV will be at La Calera in Cordoba, Argentina, for the feature lightweight bout between 23-0 Jorge Matias Romero and Javier Jose Calvello, 27-7. Out in Cambridge, New Zealand, Joshua Francis faces off with Kyle Merriweather for the Australian National Boxing Federation Australasian Cruiserweight Strap, while the 21-1 welterweight Bowen Morgan is showcased in Christchurch. Tokyo, Japan, that'll be the site for the Riki Naito, 22-2 versus Yusuke Kono, 16-4, fight for the OPBF Super Lightweight Crown. Also, Suzumi Takayama takes on Hiroto Yashiro for the country's youth Super Flyweight belt. And in Xi'an, China, they close the night with a 10-round minimum weight clash between the 2-0-1 Jinping Yang and 4-0 Xiao Kang Song. And there we go. We're back up to 13 countries. You know, Africa's starting to pick up there, a couple spots there and some other ones throughout Europe and South America. You know, a lot of places still closed down, but people are squeezing in some local regional fights, which is nice for the local action too, you know. So a lot of fights, some big names, and big names coming up too.
Oh, yeah, we have some big names coming up, you know, with the fight on ESPN, the different fights. You know, Terrence Crawford, who just fought a week ago with that great stoppage of the fight. He had a knockout in the fourth round. It brings up the conversation. Remember, we had talked about Manny Pacquiao. It seems right. That Manny Pacquiao, who was looking for a big fight to maximize what he's doing. I guess Manny says, if I'm going to go get beat, or if I'm going to beat up on somebody, I want to take on the best in the division. And definitely Terrence Crawford is pound for pound one of the best fighters in the world. And he needs a fight like Manny Pacquiao, a big name, to carry him over the hump so he can become a major boxing star with his fighting style and his skills. Where the money in the pocket and the gloves match up together, and that's what Terrence Crawford needs. With a Manny Pacquiao fight booming and negotiation, where you got Manny Pacquiao talking about, yeah, he would fight him. And Terrence Crawford said he'll fight Manny Pacquiao. Now it's a fight. Now, there's a little things going on with the promotional deal. When Bob Burham said that he's not going to go broke promoting Terrence Crawford. But I want to remind the boxing fans is that Bob Burham said the same thing about Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather was underneath a promotional deal with Bob Burham, and Bob Burham just didn't want to take the money and get to secure the fight in negotiation with other promoters to make him a major star. So what happened when Mayweather's contract ran out with Bob Burham, he kept it moving. And look at the star that he turned out to be. You know what I mean? So Terrence
right.
Crawford's at the same crossway. You know, if a man publicly says that he's not going to go broke, why would I go sign a contract with somebody who has made it publicly that he's not going to invest no money into making you a star? And if you go
right.
back and sign with him, and he does get the contract. He's not into making you a star, and nor is he going to put forth the money in order for a big event to happen to get the money in your pocket. So, Terrence Crawford, the free marketplace is where it's at with this fight with Manny Pacquiao. Stay free. Go by a fight-by-fight basis. And if a promoter comes with a package deal guaranteeing you so much money for a fight with Manny Pacquiao and all that, that's what I would do. You know, stay free, stay in the free market. You know, you're getting ready almost up at the peak to go around on the other side of your career. And now you have to seize the moment and seize the opportunity to for your pockets and all of that to match up together, so you can be fighting for those 10, 20, 30 million dollar paydays in big fights that you rightfully deserve. You know, and you have Bob Spence, Earl Spence, who's fighting Garcia on the 5th. You know, those, that date's been glooming some. You know, it's very confusing. Some thought November 21st, and I thought it was. You know, it's a little confusing, but it looks like it's going to be the 5th, right, Bob?
Right, the 5th. Yeah, now today was also supposed to be the Dillian Whyte-Alexander Povetkin rematch, too, but Povetkin came down with the COVID. So that was another big fight that was scheduled today. Yeah, we'll run down some of those changes in a little bit. But, you know, just getting back to Crawford, we had some nice numbers from that show last weekend. They had a peak of over 2,078,000 and an average of 2,029,000. It's the second highest that we've had recently, only behind the Lopez-Lomachenko fight a couple of weeks back, about 3-4 weeks ago. But not bad numbers for Crawford. I mean, they could have been better, but still, you get over 2 million. That's not bad, especially as we mentioned, you know, ratings are down all across the board for all sports and things like that. So, you know, I like those numbers myself.
Hey, look, Bob, we were talking about the numbers that could come up and change. Now, with a superstar like him, the NBA and even baseball and all that, the numbers were down. Sports and overall viewership, even the NBA Finals and stuff, the NFL, all of those numbers are down, okay?
Right.
So, boxing numbers are down. He's done better than anybody. He's not under viewership ratings, under a million. So, he's 2 million. If it was normal circumstances, he probably would have carried a 3, you know,
right.
A 3 ratings. With Boston, only does a 1 and a 3 anyway, but at the top end, a superstar will do a 3 or above. But I believe he is a superstar, and people want to see him because they can see the skills, his boxing skills, hit and don't get hit, high handle style. You can see his style. You can see his defense. You can see how accurately he throws punches and all that. And he's exciting. He's something that people want to see, and put him in the ring with Manny Pacquiao. Let me tell you, Manny Pacquiao,
yeah,
his style is exciting within itself, and anybody that climbs in the ring with him, it ain't going to be a dull fight because Manny Pacquiao is going to make a fight of it. You know what I mean, Bob? So with him and Crawford, I think that's a dynamite fight, Bob. And parents, stay in the free marketplace. Whoever comes to you with the biggest deal and can make it happen, go with them to fight Manny Pacquiao. Don't look backwards. Keep moving forward. Life is about that. And seize the moment and seize the opportunity. That's what we told Dante Wilder. He didn't seize the moment. He didn't seize the opportunity. Now he's chasing ghosts.
Okay.
You know? He wanted to be a Ghostbuster when he had time to break the ghost out. You know what I mean, Bob? So yeah, we got to bring it out. You know, we said when he turned that $100 million deal down that he was crazy, and it shows that he is crazy to turn down $100 million deal. You know what I mean? So Terrence Crawford, go get it, because you got some great fights. If Earl Spence can get past Garcia, that's a dynamite fight for you. If he don't, Garcia's a dynamite fight for you. It brings a different flavor to the table. So, you know, Sean Porter, all them guys like that, man, you line up, if they can line them up, knock them down, whoever got them, you know what I mean? Hey, look, they fight by fight, and as the fight comes, you know, cut a deal off fight by fight basis, man, and stay on the free free marketplace, man. That's where it's at nowadays.
There you go. Let's talk about some other numbers, man. Some impressive numbers came in this past week from the women's triple header that they had over in London last week. Man, you know, they topped 2 million. There was over 1 million Facebook. This is the way we are nowadays. You know, the Facebook got over 1 million. Yeah, Sky Sports, they had a YouTube channel. They had the regular TV channel. They had their own website. They were packing out over 1 million there too. And this does not even include the zone numbers from the U.S. too. So, you know, just 2 million from the internet basically. 600,000 actually from the Sky TV, but everything else, you know, 1.4 million basically coming in through the internet too. But not bad, man. Really good numbers for the Katy Taylor. Gutierrez was the headliner too, but that's nice numbers there. And also Eddie Hearn is kind of drooling a little bit too, because he sees those numbers and he knows he has McCaskill and Brakus doing a rematch in January on the zone, and he's trying to line up Katy Taylor, as we talked last week, to face the winner of that too. So looking forward to those fights in 2021. But man, yeah, 2 million to watch the women's triple header, man, not bad too.
Well, hey, look, that's terrific numbers over across the pond. Kaylee Taylor, she's something kind of special, Bob. She got look and appeal. She got class and she got style, you know, and she can fight, you know, along with the beauty that she has that she displays. But she also shows the beauty in her fight style and the way that she fights, you know, and she's taking care of business. For a woman boxer, not to say this discriminatorily, is that to get those kind of numbers, boy, she's out there working it. she's working it to get those type of numbers. And, hey, you think Shields would come in and try to – her and Shields would probably be a bigger payday. I think they would pack them in. And if Clarissa Shields want to take the show on the road over there in England – and Pac Wembley, you know, that would be a market women's boxing second to none.
Yeah, and we still have Serrano out there too. She's been trying to get a piece of that too, as far as you know, Katy Taylor as well too. So yeah, you mentioned Shields and Serrano, they're in the wings waiting to see what happens. But you know, we're also talking about the Shields, and then with her old nemesis coming back out too, having a big win the other night too. What was her name? The Kaufman. Yeah,
yeah.
Who beat her in the Savannah Marshall, who was the only one who ever beat Shields and beat her back in the amateur days too. So yeah, lots of good action happening there in the women's side of things too. And again, that's good numbers, man. You know, the Facebook and Sky Sports pages and all that stuff. You know, that's where we're at now too, which is UK has caught on to that. And don't forget now, too, coming up on the 1st of December, DAZN is going to be doing that big worldwide launch where they're going into like 200 more countries, and they'll be worldwide then, too. So, you know, again, not getting any numbers, but 2 million without DAZN numbers even, too. So we'll see what happens. And if they start start telling us how many subscribers and how many people are watching, once they start going worldwide, it's going to be tough not to to get those numbers released, you know. I mean, they could do it now because they're just more of a regional thing. But once they get full blown around the world, we're going to have to start seeing some numbers from them too.
Yeah, well, we can use the numbers to gauge somewhat what they're doing, Bob. When we talk about Anthony Joshua and Povetkin, you know, Adam Smith, who's the director producer for Sky Sports, you know, boxing, you know, they put
right.
it the fight that's coming up that they're having on the 12th. They set that pay-per-view at $24.95. That's in pounds. You know what I mean? And
right.
People said they thought that was high for Povetkin. They thought that was really high, but you know, stuff like that. You know, Bob.
Right.
Is something to be challenged with, is because there's not a lot of people working in England, and you know, the public sentiment is that they like Anthony Joshua, but they're saying they don't want to pay $24.95, but in pounds. To
right.
see the fight. So there's a lot of controversy about this pay-per-view on Sky Sports boxing. So we have to look at that and engage at that at the end of the day, once they fight, to see how much people really, really like Anthony Joshua. I think $24.95 for Anthony Joshua fight is dynamite because they can't have a crowd.
And right.
You know, for someone whose economics are very high because so many people like them, that's a great price to do it on a pay-per-view. And at the end of the day, on the 12th, if it's promoted right and they get the message out there and they get Anthony Joshua talking, you know, they're looking at Povetkin. Ah, this is an easy fight. Let me tell you, there's no fight easy, Bob. None.
Mm-hmm.
And the very one that you think ain't going to give you a problem, that's the very one who will give you a problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you leave your intensity down. You don't have the intensity during training that, you know, that what if factor, what if that. You leave all that go and say, oh, this is an easy one, walk in the park. And Anthony Joshua should learn from the mistakes that he had with Luis in New York City, something that everybody said, this guy can't fight. It's going to be a walk in the park. It's an easy thing. Go ahead and, you know, fight him. It's going to be an easy one. It was his big nightmare. You know what I mean? So it was his big nightmare. And what he has to do, he got to go in there with the same intensity and live up to the bill. If it's the easy guy and people think it's easy, accept the challenge and show them that it was the easy work that you went in and trained hard and you prepared and you made it easy through preparation so you wouldn't have a piss poor performance. Don't go in there and say, I whoop this guy any day that he can't beat me. And you lose your intensity, you use your training, you don't have a fight plan, you're just going to go in there and fight and try to whack them out. Don't go like that. You know, you got to prepare, and preparation makes for sure that you don't have a piss-poor performance. Like the wise guys used to say back in the day, Bob, they say if you're going to fight a baby and they put the baby in the ring, you better prepare to beat the baby, because if you don't think the baby going to swing at you and try to hit you, you're mistakenly wrong.
Right.
And if the baby hits you in the right spot, a baby will knock you out. So what we're saying, since everybody has this thing about it's an easy fight, prove it to them, Anthony Joshua, and make it look easy because you properly and promote the fight in the right way so the public will want to see it. You know what I mean? You know, don't promote it in, you know, where it scares even the one that ain't supposed to be scared. You promote it so good, you scare yourself. And scaring yourself, Bob, you know, we go back to Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. You know, with that fight coming in next Saturday on the 28th, right? Isn't there another heavyweight show on the 28th? I think it's Joe Joyce that's going to be on ESPN with the board.
Boy, yeah. And actually, there's been a change now, too. Let's touch a little bit on these, because I said a couple weeks ago we gave you all the things, and they've been changing. As we mentioned,
okay,
Tonight was supposed to be Povetkin and White. But next Friday night, we have Daniel Jacobs and Gabriel Rosado, too, for the super middleweight title fight. That's the day before. But on the 28th, the WBA World Super Featherweight fight with Chris Colbert and Jaime Arboleda, that has been moved over now to the next, a couple weeks later, to the 12th, where because of the fact that Nordine Uba-Ali versus Nonito Donaire fight has been pushed back now, that world bantamweight title fight, because Uba-Ali has tested positive. So, again, a lot of switching around. We also found out now, we said last week about the Ryan Garcia-Luke Campbell fight. was out for the December 5th. They've now rescheduled that for January 2nd because Campbell had a positive test. And also some other news, though, man. We have to follow up on this in the weeks to come because we want to hope for the best for Junior Fa. That was going to be that big fight down in New Zealand on Friday, the 11th of December. Joseph Parker and Junior Fa, man, everybody was biting at the bit down there in New Zealand, two big local heroes. And Junior Fa is out again. He had abnormalities in his blood. This came out yesterday. And, of course, he has had a history of some blood issues. He had low iron and hemoglobin counts about 3 years ago or so. And we don't really know too much. That was a story that came in yesterday. But we hope the best for Junior Fa there, too, because I know everybody wants to see that fight, especially all the Kiwis down under there in New Zealand, man. They've been chomping at the bit to see those guys go at it. But we'll see what happens on that fight, too. But, yeah, as you know, there's a lot of changes here. And we also want to just add now that whole the zone thing, too, with Canelo Alvarez and Callum Smith. That's going to be now on the 19th. And that's going to be at the Alamo Dome, not Cowboys Stadium. They originally thought about that in Arlington, but the Cowboys play the next day, so they didn't want to make the quick turnaround. They found the Alamo Dome, which they had fans at the Alamo Dome, remember, for Tank Davis and Leo Santa Cruz fight, and they had like 9,400 people, which is half capacity of the Alamo Dome. So Canelo's hoping that they stay pretty much some sort of a semblance of sanity here when they get around to it, that they could actually maybe put some fans in the stands there at the Alamo Dome, because people want to see Canelo. We talked about him. And, you know, it's just interesting, too, because Callum Smith, you know, a couple of months ago, he wasn't good enough for Eddie Hearn to put on a pay-per-view because they were talking about Billy Joe Saunders and Callum Smith, but they were trying to get, you know, a Triple G fight together and all this, but now they went back and said, okay, we'll take Callum Smith. He was a great fighter, man, undefeated, champion. You know, let's bring it on. So that's the 19th. So a lot of different things happening, as we said, switching around, and you know, this is all subject to change again, of course, you know, but that's the latest we have here.
Yeah, well, it's always good to see Canelo Alvarez, who was speaking, wanting to fight and to stay busy, to keep practicing a trade. When a fighter is busy fighting and winning, it makes you much more sharper, and you take care of the little ones to get to the big one. And what Canelo Alvarez is doing now, he's kept his promise. He said to everyone, look, I want to fight.
Right.
And he says, I want to climb in there and fight. I want to stay busy. When a young man says that, it's great for boxing, especially a fighter at his level, because so many fighters reach a pinnacle where the big fights, they only want to fight one time, two times a year. He's saying not that. He wants to stay busy. You know, you line them up, I knock them down. And this is something, and you can take Smith lightly, is because this here theory, Bob, you never know how good an undefeated fighter is till he fights a fighter that everybody recognizes good or great. And then the fighter lives up to that bill. You know what I mean? What
right.
He shows his potential, or he shows how good or great he is. And for Smith, he has somebody in front of him with Canelo Alvarez to show how good he is. You know what I mean? And with Canelo Alvarez that's saying, hey, look, I want to fight. I want to stay busy. Well, you got somebody in front of you now. You got to stay busy. And as we said before, Bob, I think he was listening to us about the lawyers, that lawyers don't fight. They only want money in your pocket. I think he took our advice, Bob. So, so he's back at fighting at the bit. He's letting the lawyers where they're supposed to be and where he's supposed to be in the ring fighting. And hats off to you for Canelo Alvarez for not waiting around just for big dollars and all that, giving the people what they want, fighting, staying busy, trying to that legendary status that you got going on as being a great fighter, taking on all comers. Hey, that's something good for the game, Canelo Alvarez. Hats off to you. And you're talking about Canelo Alvarez. Let's talk about Triple G. It seems
right.
like Triple G, Bob, has went back to the zone and they have worked out a new deal, some type of new deal that they have worked out to propel Triple G's career with the zone. Are they going to keep him busy and hopefully that Canelo Alvarez and him can meet up again, you know, in a big, big mega fight? But all fights are big when you're on this level, Bob. So Canelo Alvarez
right.
got a big one, and when Triple G climbs in the ring with somebody, it's big. So, man, we got big-time boxing going on, Bob.
Right. Well, let's go back to, you know, speaking of staying busy and not staying busy, you know, Tyson Fury bouncing around a little bit too, you know. Eddie Hearn saying, let's just wait till the Joshua Pulev fight's over and bring it on for the unification. And he doesn't really want Tyson Fury to fight anybody. Fury wants to fight somebody. They still have that date open on the 5th, you know, that nobody's filled in yet. But where's Tyson Fury at in that same situation? You know, he wants to stay busy, but he also knows down the road he could have he could have it all, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, with Dante Wilder glooming in the looms, this so-called trilogy that you know, he keeps trying to push, you know, with Anthony Joshua, what he should be doing, Bob. And, you know, I'll give him some consulting fee answer with your think tank of your great managers and all of them that you got. The WBC is coming out with a new division, right, that we talked
right.
about last
yeah.
week, right? Now, Dante Wilder falls into that range of that weight class that the WBC is talking about, from 200
right.
to 224. Why not you lobby the WBC, right, since you're right there, number one contender, fight someone for that bruiserweight division, right? And fight for the
right.
title and be champion
right.
at
he
that
said he
weight
wasn't
class.
Interested. Yeah, and he said no, basically. Wilder doesn't
yeah.
want to do it. He wants
yeah,
to fight.
Hey,
he does,
hey,
he wants anyway.
I don't understand these guys' think tanks. You know
right.
what I mean? It doesn't make
brand
sense.
New division. You could be the first. Yeah, you could be the first champion at that Bridgeweight. You know, that's something that'll be historic down the road. You know, who was the first Bridgeweight champion? You know, and he has a shot at it, and he doesn't want to do it. He wants to. We don't know what he's doing anyway at this point. But you know,
Hey, look, I don't understand Wilder, but guess what? Wise man told me a long time ago, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it.
Exactly.
You know, when sometimes a guy got your number, and when a guy got your number, sometimes that you see him walking down the street, sometimes you got to walk around him till you can get yourself together where he may not have your number. But right now, it looks like Tyson Fury got your number, you know. And, you know, Anthony Joshua in the zone, it turned down $100 million, man, when you were champion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure, Bob, I'm pretty sure, without looking at his contract, is that somewhere he has a clause in there. He was champion before, Bob. He ain't going to make the same kind of money in the trilogy. It ain't going to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You lost. So you ain't gonna make the same kind of money. He's down to bottom numbers.
Right.
Yeah, man. You don't get the
same.
We
talk about too. There's a lot of heavyweights making their moves now too. You know, we've been running over some of those names that are coming up over the last couple of weeks, from Gregovic and Michael Hunter out there, and Usyk and all these other guys, man. You know, they're passing him by.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Usyk, Michael Hunter, Ortiz just had that 45-second knockout where the viewership ratings for him was sky high, Bob. They were great numbers on that 45-second knockout. He's biting at the bit, and guess what? He fits in that weight class for bruiserweight. Gohunter fits in that weight class for bruiserweight, 200, 224. Usyk sits into that. You know, Dante Wilder, you have Ortiz, he fits there. Now, Ortiz and them, or WBC ratings, they're right up there in the top five, all of them guys. So this bruiserweight class it looks very, very appealing, and there's great opportunities that will come about. And Mauricio Suleiman, who is the president of WBC, he has announced by next month they're going to have the ratings and that stuff out, and somebody's going to get the opportunity to fight for that first championship, be a part of history. It's going to be locked down in history. Whoever fights for it, Bob. Man,
right.
Who don't want to be a part of history?
Hey, that's not me, man.
Dante Wilder, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's going to be historic, and your name is going to be at the top of the list, you know, as far as the first champion for a new weight class. And yeah, there's a lot of guys that want to do it, too, you know. As we were mentioning, a whole bunch of names, all those cruiserweights, you know, between the Brightuses and some of those other guys that are all around that 205, 210, you know, even, you know, they're fighting now, you know, like Usyk, I think, came in at, what, 214 for his last fight. So, you know, these guys were fighting as cruisers. But now they put on a couple extra pounds, but it puts them in the ring against a guy a little bit more of their size rather than some of these monsters they were talking about, you know, from Hrgović and Zhang and Fury and these guys that go like 6'6 plus and 3, you know, 280 and things like that. So, yeah, it's going to be something to see, and we'll see what the ratings do come out as, and then we'll see how that goes from there. But, yeah, something to look forward to. And, yeah, Dante Wilder, I don't know where he's at. He just... You know, he's still making excuses, whatever this thing was with the fingernail and the glove and all this. And he just keeps coming up with stuff. You keep shaking your head saying, what are you talking about now?
Hey, Bob, when he comes around with it, everything's going to be passing by. And when he wakes up and heals from that good old-fashioned butt-whooping that got put on it, You got to call it what it is. That's how you grow. That's how you learn in this game. When your guy gets his butt whooped, you say, look, man, this dude whipped my butt, man. Well, you listen to George Foreman with Muhammad Ali, man. He said, man, Ali put a butt whooping on me. And not only did he put a butt whooping on me, he put the rope a dope. He made me look like a dope with the rope a dope. And he put it on me. When George Foreman finally woke up from that butt whooping and the rope-a-dope, he learned something, George Foreman did, and that's why he became the oldest heavyweight champion to win a heavyweight title. It took him 10 years to learn that lesson, but guess what? He learned it, and he became champion all over again. Now, whether Dante Wilder wants to put that in his head, and understood he got a butt whooping and learned how to fight a better fight. That's a whole together another story, but that's what he's going to have to want to do. He's going to have to want to get it together and learn to fight a better fight, and that's how you keep growing in life, period. After turning down $100 million, wow, man, oh, man. But, you know, life's lessons and everything. So we'll see with that, Bob, Joe Joyce and them are fighting on ESPN Plus, right, on the 28th.
Right.
I think it's starting it's being streamed. And Joe Joyce
right.
and them
I'm
are right in that
yeah.
division, too. But this thing is
right.
he got beat fighting for the title, Joe Joyce and them. He's learned, he's staying busy. He's looking, biting at the bit, trying to get another opportunity at the heavyweight championship of the world to become a heavyweight champion, and rightfully so. And Bob Arum said, well, why not? They're going to stream it ESPN Plus streaming platform in the United States, and I believe it's going to start at 5 p.m.
And the Mike Tyson Jones thing will be going on later in California, so that'll be a later start here on the East Coast. Hey, we also got the list of the entertainment out. We found out there will be no crowd, so it'll be strictly on that on the platforms that they're talking, the Thriller and whatnot, in order to go see at the pay-per-view. But it's going to be Wiz Khalifa is going to be there, Lil Wayne, DaBaby, YG, and French Montana. So there's going to be five big acts. That's depending on whether Lil Wayne can actually show up, because he went out and got himself busted again carrying a gun where he's a felon. So he might not have actually. He might be doing a little jailhouse rock. I don't know. he messed up again, but so.
To our fans listening over in England with the Tyson and Jones pay-per-view, BT Sports box office, you can watch this fight for £19.95. You know, they can watch that in England, in the UK, and also in Ireland, Bob, you can $29.99. What's the money in Ireland? What is it?
I don't know if they're doing euro or not.
I don't know. But $29.99, Bob, they can watch it. And it looks like, you know, they're watching a lot of pay-per-view fights, man. You know, the bit of the Irish, Bob, the bit of the Irish, the bloody stone, man. You know, you got that fighting Irish spirit, Bob. You know about that, you know. And they're watching it, too, with Katie, what she did on pay-per-view over there. They watch pretty good. And, you know, the Irish are always like a good fight. You know, you just can't go in the pubs and get brewed up a bit of lager, you know, a bit of lager. But you know, maybe the guys who just love watching Mike Tyson, they might sit around and smoke a joint. What do they call it? they might come out and have a joint party. You know, what do they call that? Marijuana for when you're sick. What's it called?
Medical. I mean, that's
medical marijuana. What's the name of it? They call it
cannabis.
Yeah, cannabis. Yeah, go smoke your cannabis. And watch Mike Tyson fight and get some healing. Get some healing power as you sit back and tote on the things. You know, back in the day, they used to, you know, when they had Alka-Palka Gold, Red Bud, and all of that kind of stuff.
Panama Red, yeah.
Panama Red. What days were they, man? But, yeah, hey, tune in to Roy Jones, man, and Mike Tyson. It looks like it's going to be full of entertainment. And one thing you can expect when Mike Tyson fights, something crazy is going to happen. Wow, going to happen. So, you know, it's always worthwhile to tune in to see Mike do his thing. You know, I hope it turns out in his favor. And, you know, you got two legends of the game. Roy Jones, hey, look, Roy Jones ain't no slouch neither now. Whether he can, you know, if he can put his stuff together, it ain't like, you know, you got two former heavyweight champions of the world climbing in the ring that night. And, hey, something's going to happen. Something explosive's going to happen in that. So, you know, like Roy said, I know what I'm getting into. Boy, oh, boy. Wouldn't it be funny, Bob, you know, to all Mike Tyson's fans that love to see him smoke weed and stuff, Mike sitting in the dressing room like Carlos Mayorga. He used to smoke a cigarette and turn up, you know, a bottle of booze, like he was drinking in the dressing room and didn't come out and fight, knock somebody out. Wouldn't it be funny, Mike Tyson sitting in the dressing room, lights up a butt? So the comes out. Oh man, with that said, shockwaves around the world. What's going on? Would he be the first athlete that you ever try to pull that off, or what?
I think so.
And how do they handle that? And you know, this is something for the commission. How would you handle that if somebody has a medical marijuana card, right? And their medicine is prescribed by a doctor to smoke cannabis, you know, and he smokes it before the fight because it's part of his medicine. And how do they handle the drug test?
I know. It's something
This is the real world that we're living in.
I know California, it's legal for recreational, too, so it's not even a question of the medical anymore. You know, it's legal for recreational use, too. So how do you do it? Plus, you know, you want to talk about that testing, you know, contact high, you know, and stuff like that. You know, how do you get some guy says, man, I tested hot, I don't smoke weed, but, you know, I was in a room with Tyson. I got hot.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did want to quick mention that Badu Jack, though, you know, he's going to be on that card, too, and it came out this week that he's going to be donating his proceeds to charity, too. Let's not forget that this is a charity event, too, you know, so we'll see what kind of money and everything else. But, you know, I think the bottom line we should keep in mind is that, you know, the charities will benefit from this fight, though, too. So that's a good thing.
I think that's excellent. Bayou Jack is a classic guy, a good boxer, a former champion, and I like to see this fight because the guy that he's fighting, he's talking it, man. I listened to him on a podcast, man. Told him, he said, I know you don't know me, man. This is a great opportunity. He said, but Bayou Jack.
Make the turn.
Huh?
Yeah. Ray McKernan.
Yeah. He said, Bayou Jack got to show me that he's every bit of the champion he say he is. And he says, you know, I respect him outside the ring, but you're gonna have to show me. You're going to have to kick my ass because I'm coming to kick you. I said, oh, boy, this is a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fight. But, you know, with the internet sensation, Paul, you know,
right.
You're going to see how that fight turns out and how do people turn in. This guy draws, Bob.
Jake Paul, yeah. Jake Paul and Nate Robinson, who we know as the NBA slam dunk champion, three-time champion. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what he has as far as skills in the ring, too. Because we don't know anything about Nate Robinson as a fighter. We just know he can jump.
Yeah, well.
What that means.
Well, Jake Paul been knocking him out.
Yeah.
We're going to see how that turns out. But it should be a good boxing matches on
good
the holiday
night, yeah.
Weekend.
Good night. Good entertaining night, too. Coming right off the Thanksgiving weekend. Hey, we have a few minutes left, so I just want to also bring out something, too. We just saw on Thursday night, new outfit Ring City USA just made their debut on NBC, and that's going to be something they're going to be pushing some younger fighters. We saw some action. We don't have any numbers yet. Probably have them by next week, but, you know, just seeing how this whole new venture is going to take off here for NBC and some more fighting on TV there. Ring City USA, so they're going to be doing Thursday night fights for the next couple of months, too, so that's something we wanted to mention, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it looks like Luke Campbell on the zone January 2nd, I think he's going to be on.
Yeah, with Ryan Garcia, that's going to be, yeah, that's one of the changes, yeah, because Campbell had tested positive. That fight, we said, that was going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. I guess that was going to actually be next week because they were talking about doing that as an afternoon show because of all the other things that were going on. But, yeah, that got pushed back now. That was a good way to start out 2021, though. The second you know, with a good fight between Garcia. You know, we know this kid. He's got the internet all abuzz with him. You know, he knows how to play that game. And Luke Campbell, you know, coming in, and he's an old veteran, and that ought to be a good matchup. So hopefully there won't be any more delays in putting that one together, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But, Bob, there's been some deaths in boxing, and those that lost their lives, you know, died. You know, Roland, he's passed and went on middleweight, fought Marvin Hagler and all that. So we just we just send the prayers and stuff out to his family during this time, and especially around the holidays, to lose a loved one like that. You know, it's heartfelt, and it's ringing around the world in the boxing community. And also on the positive note of things, Don King's daughter yesterday, which was Thursday, she did a feeding program to make sure people in need would have a Thanksgiving meal. And they lined up cars for miles as she handed out boxes of food that had a full Thanksgiving meal, turkeys, dressing, the whole potatoes, sweet potatoes, all kinds, through the training camp where I spent a large part of my life, Bob, at that training camp, training fighters as a director trainer. There, and we want to congratulate Debbie King and also Brenda Johnson, who helped her and paired it in Country Neighbor, Country Kitchen, and which is the community food banks and stuff like that, to get that food to the people, so to make sure that they have a happy Thanksgiving in a good meal. And that's what it's all about, the holidays, bringing other people joy. And
that's good.
That's really good. You know, that's something that King used to give her father. So she's father. He used to have the big, long turkey tour where we used to go around to all the major cities and hand out turkeys to everybody. He used to do that, but Debbie said she wanted to keep it in her mother's spirit, Henrietta King, who really was an asset in that community in Ashtabula County in Ohio. So she said she wanted to do it there at the training camp, and that's what she did. It takes a life to save a life, and Deb's been on our show quite a few times, Bob, and you know, hats off to her. Congratulations, a job well done, and may God continue to bless you. So
I just had the T-shirt on that I got from her last year. Life is the new cool. That's it. So yeah, she's proven life is the new cool. Give it up,
yes,
to Debbie. Good to hear.
Yeah. You know, she had some struggles and stuff like that in her life, and she's turned her life around in a positive way, and she's giving back and trying to help the less fortunate, the downtrodden, the poor, the ones kicked to the side and the ones left out, and the ones needy, not greedy, and hungry. So, Bob, 60 seconds, man. Time goes by fast when you're having fun, but we got 60 seconds. What do you want to say in closing, Bob?
Well, yeah, I'm just happy to see that we're getting some good numbers. They're starting to show up here, and, you know, more fight venues, the Ring City thing, and we have a whole big packed schedule going now through the end of the year, of course, and we're hoping that everything's going to work out, that we don't bounce these dates around too much, but lots to look forward to. And again, yeah, everybody have a happy Thanksgiving, and enjoy, and we'll be back next week, and we'll be surely talking a little bit more about Tyson and Jones and some of the other big fights that will be happening too. But yeah, it is fun just talking boxing, and there was a lot to talk about, too. So, yeah, cool.
Well, 10 seconds, Bob. Let me tell you, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. As we travel the world for past, present, and future stars. And our radio aficionado, who took us to 13 countries on that carpet ride around the world, giving Thanksgiving joy, dropping off turkeys here, there, and everywhere. Aficionado, Bob Murray. And we'd like to thank Henry Hascop for all that he does. I know Henry's out there giving some turkeys or food or something out somewhere. He's just a great guy somewhere like that. You know, we'd like to thank him for being our boxing historian. Thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show.
Stay safe, everybody. There we go. Okay, bye-bye.